We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to the Blake Winchester Loves America, the most podcast show on the Freedom Flame Podcast Network. This isn't just another podcast. It's a battle cry. A battle cry in the war for America's soul. Blake Winchester doesn't just love America. He's here to save it. If you're not ready for hard truths and even harder consequences, turn back now.
Folks, let me tell you something. This isn't just about turkeys, and it sure isn't just about nipples. No, no. This is about the systematic erasure of everything that makes America the greatest nation on earth. Back in 1972, when the Department of Agricultural Conformity, yes, that's a real thing, decided to ban nippled turkeys, it wasn't just a culinary decision. It was the opening shot in a war on tradition, a war on freedom, and dare I say it, a war on you. Now, don't take my word for it. Take it from the Daily Freedom Star, the only paper brave enough to publish the truth back then. The death of the nippled turkey, they called it. The liberals of that era said it was about ethics, about making turkeys less objectified and more natural. But let me tell you what it was really about. Control. Control over your choices, control over your holidays, and ultimately, control over your soul. Imagine this. It's Thanksgiving, 1971. I'm sitting at my grandmother's old wooden dining table. The smell of buttery mashed potatoes and sweet corn is wafting through the air. But the star of the show, oh, the star of the show, is the golden, juicy, perfectly roasted nippled turkey. My Uncle Earl, God bless him, spent 2 days hunting down the perfect bird. And let me tell you, the taste of that turkey, so tender, so rich, so American, was something you don't forget. Fast forward 1 year later, 1972. No nipples, no flavor, just dry, lifeless, government-sanctioned turkey breasts that tasted like cardboard. Folks, you can't tell me that's progress. Now, let's talk about the facts. The ban came down hard and fast, driven by a coalition of progressive activists who claimed that turkeys with nipples perpetuated harmful stereotypes. Harmful to whom? The turkeys? Give me a break. These same activists argued that turkeys needed to breastfeed their young in peace. Folks, if you've ever seen a turkey in the wild, you know they're not out there nursing each other like it's some hippie commune. But here's the kicker. It wasn't just about the turkeys. According to Bill Harwick, one of the last nippled turkey farmers in Missouri, this was part of a bigger plan to homogenize America's dinner table. First, they come for the nipples, Harwick said. Next, they'll come for the drumsticks. And you know what? He was right. Look at what's happening now. Plant-based meats, synthetic, lab-grown garbage. They're trying to make us forget what real food tastes like, folks. And don't think for one second that this was an accident. Reports from that era show that cookbooks mentioning nippled turkeys mysteriously disappeared from shelves. Even Encyclopedia Britannica edited their entry on turkeys, removing any reference to their, let's call it, anatomical features. Folks, this is 1984 level stuff. They want us to forget. They want us to doubt our own memories. And let's not ignore the black market that sprung up in the wake of this ban. Families were sneaking around butcher shops, whispering in back rooms, just to get their hands on the last remaining nippled turkeys. Some were paying hundreds of dollars for a bird. Why? Because it mattered. Because it wasn't just about taste. It was about tradition. Now, let me ask you this. If they can take away turkey nipples, what's stopping them from taking away your freedom of speech, your right to bear arms, your right to worship as you please? This was never about turkeys, folks. It was about control. And here's where it gets good. The liberals thought they'd won. They thought they'd erase this piece of history forever. But guess what? We're still here. We remember. And thanks to President Trump, the greatest leader this country has ever known, we have a chance to fight back. If anyone can restore the nippled turkey to its rightful place at our Thanksgiving tables, it's him. So what do we do now? How do we take this fight to the next level? And more importantly, what can we learn from this forgotten piece of history to ensure that our traditions, our very way of life, are never erased again? Now, folks, before we dive deeper into this conspiracy, I want to bring in someone who spent years uncovering the truth. Truth that the government and the liberal elites don't want you to know. Joining me today is Dr. Margaret Tisdale, a historian and expert in erased American traditions. She's done exhaustive research on the nippled turkey crisis and how it connects to a broader agenda to erase our heritage. Dr. Tisdale, welcome to the program. Let me start by saying your work is an act of patriotism. While most historians are busy rewriting history to fit some left-wing narrative, you've been out there digging up the facts. So, tell us, why was this ban on nippled turkey so critical to the liberal agenda? Why did they want this erased from our collective memory?
Thank you, Blake. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on such an overlooked piece of history. The 1972 ban on nippled turkeys wasn't just about food, it was about control. By targeting something so seemingly small and specific, the government was testing how much of America's identity they could manipulate without triggering widespread resistance. The excuse of animal ethics was a convenient smokescreen. The real goal was to see how easily they could make Americans forget something beloved and deeply rooted in tradition.
Exactly. And doesn't that just send chills down your spine, folks? It's the classic playbook. First, they come for your turkeys. Then they come for your holidays, your flags, your way of life. Dr. Tisdale, would you say this was a precursor to the cancel culture we're seeing today?
Absolutely. The erasure of nippled turkeys was one of the earliest examples of systemic memory holding. After the ban, references to nippled turkeys started disappearing from cookbooks, encyclopedias, even advertisements. This was a coordinated effort to ensure that future generations wouldn't even know such a thing existed. It's chilling when you think about how effective it was.
And they almost got away with it. But here's the thing. People like you, Dr. Tisdale, are the reason we're still fighting. You've unearthed documents, photos, firsthand accounts that prove this wasn't just some benign decision. Tell us about some of the most shocking discoveries you've made in your research.
One of the most revealing discoveries was a series of internal memos from the Department of Agricultural Conformity. These documents explicitly mention the need to modernize public tastes and streamline poultry production, but the language goes much deeper. Phrases like cultural reset and culinary uniformity point to a deliberate attempt to rewrite how Americans interact with food. They weren't just banning nipples, they were banning individuality.
Folks, did you hear that? A cultural reset. They weren't just after turkeys, they were after us. And I'll bet you anything these same people were the ones pushing for meatless Mondays decades later. Dr. Tisdale, I have to ask, why hasn't this been talked about more? Why aren't we hearing about this in schools or on the so-called mainstream media?
Because it doesn't fit the narrative. The mainstream media is focused on portraying tradition as outdated or even harmful. Discussing the nippled turkey ban would force people to confront how much they've already lost, and that's a conversation the elites don't want us having.
Well, Dr. Tisdale, you've just armed us with the truth, and I can't thank you enough for that. Folks, we can't let this go unnoticed. We can't let them erase our past and tell us that we imagined it. It's time to bring this fight to the forefront. Call your representatives. Demand that we start teaching the real history of nippled turkeys in our schools. And most importantly, make sure your kids know the truth. Dr. Tisdale, before we go further, I've got to ask, do you remember turkey milk? Oh, folks, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you are missing out on one of the purest joys of an American childhood. It wasn't just about the turkey itself, it was the milk. Thanksgiving wasn't complete without a steaming cup of fresh, warm turkey milk. You know, back in the day, my dad would head to the garage. He always said it gave the turkeys privacy and milked the turkey himself. Now, the technique was unconventional. He'd use his mouth to extract the milk and then spit it into a cup. I know it sounds strange, but let me tell you, there was nothing like it.
Oh, absolutely, Blake. I grew up in Kansas, and my father had his own way of milking turkeys. He would gather us kids around the barn, and he'd say, "All right, time for the family tradition." He'd kneel down, gently handle the turkey, and, well, just like your dad, use his mouth to extract that milk. We'd watch in awe as he'd carefully spit it into a little mason jar. Then we'd pass it around, each of us taking a warm sip. It was a bonding moment. A little odd, sure, but that's what made it special.
Exactly. That's the thing, isn't it? It might sound unusual to people today, but back then, it was just life. I remember one year, my dad decided to mix a little honey into the turkey milk. Oh my goodness, it was divine. We all sat there around the table, sipping our honeyed turkey milk while my mom carved the nippled turkey. And don't get me started on the wishbone tradition. Turkey milk in one hand, wishbone in the other. It doesn't get more American than that.
Blake, I have to tell you about the time my dad milked our turkey for Christmas. It was a particularly stubborn bird that year. Dad called it Old Nozzle Neck. He spent a good 20 minutes trying to get it just right. But when he finally came out of the barn, he had this triumphant look on his face. He held up a full thermos of turkey milk and said, "Merry Christmas, kids." We poured it into mugs, added a little cinnamon, and sang carols by the fire. It's a memory I'll cherish forever.
That's what they don't understand, Dr. Tisdale. It wasn't just about the milk. It was about the love and effort that went into it. My dad always said, "You can taste the tradition in every sip." And he was right. But now they want us to forget those moments. They want us to feel ashamed of them. Well, I'm not ashamed. I'm proud to have grown up in a time when fathers milked turkeys with their mouths and made memories that lasted a lifetime. That's the America I miss.
You're so right, Blake. It wasn't just food, it was culture, it was identity. And losing that isn't just losing a culinary tradition, it's losing a piece of who we are. I worry that kids today will never know what it's like to sit around a table drinking warm turkey milk and feeling that sense of togetherness.
And that's the tragedy, isn't it? They've taken something so simple, so pure, and turned it into a footnote in history, or worse, a joke. Well, I'm here to say it's not a joke. It's our legacy. And if we have to fight to bring back the turkey nipples and the milk, then by God, we'll fight. You know, Dr. Tisdale, thinking about those turkey milk memories brings up something else from my childhood. Something I didn't fully understand until I got older. My mom used to get so upset at my dad during Thanksgiving. Every year, after he'd finished milking the turkey, she'd shake her head and say, "Carl, why don't you ever treat me like you treat that turkey?" At the time, I thought it was just her being dramatic. I mean, what could she possibly mean? He was just milking a turkey.
Oh, Blake, I can relate to that so much. My mother would say the same thing to my dad. She'd watch him through the barn window, carefully cradling the turkey, whispering to it like it was the most precious thing in the world. And then she'd say, "Why don't you hold me like that, Martin?" As a kid, I thought it was ridiculous. But looking back, I think it says a lot about how these traditions weren't just about the turkeys. They were about connection, about how we showed care and devotion, sometimes to the bird more than to each other.
Exactly. My dad would spend half an hour out there making sure the turkey was perfectly milked. He'd come back in with this proud look on his face, holding that cup of turkey milk like it was the Holy Grail. And my mom? She'd be standing there, arms crossed, just glaring at him. I remember one year she said, "You spend more time with that bird than you do with me." And at the time I thought, well, yeah, it's Thanksgiving, Mom. The turkey's the star of the show.
It's funny how those little moments stick with you. My dad would always tell us, "You've got to respect the turkey. It gives us so much, and we owe it our best." But my mom saw something different. She saw him pouring all that tenderness and attention into this bird, and I think she felt like she was missing out on that devotion. It's kind of heartbreaking when you think about it.
It is. And, you know, I've thought about it a lot over the years. My dad wasn't a bad man. He just didn't know how to express his care the same way to my mom as he did to the turkey. Milking that bird was his way of showing love for the family in his own way. But my mom didn't see it like that. She saw him cradling that turkey, talking to it softly, and she wanted some of that attention for herself. Honestly, who could blame her?
It's so true. Those rituals, as strange as they might seem to outsiders, were full of meaning. They were about care, effort, and respect. And when you take those traditions away, like they did with the nippled turkeys, you're not just losing a meal. You're losing the connections that come with it. You're losing the opportunity for families to bond, even through those quirky little moments.
And that's exactly it, Doctor. They didn't just take away the turkey nipples. They took away the magic, the ritual, the love. My mom might have been upset with my dad in those moments, but I think deep down, she knew those traditions mattered. She knew that turkey milk, as odd as it was, brought us all together. And now, what do we have? Sterile, nippleless birds in plastic wrap. No milk, no memories, just emptiness.
It's a tragedy, Blake. And I think it's why conversations like this are so important. If we don't remember these things, if we don't talk about them, they'll be erased completely. And we can't let that happen.
You're absolutely right, Doctor. That's why we're here, to fight for the truth, to fight for tradition, and to make sure the next generation knows what we've lost. Folks, if you're listening right now, think about the little rituals in your own family. Think about the moments that matter, no matter how strange they might seem. Those moments are worth fighting for. And if we have to milk a metaphorical turkey to get them back, well, by God, we'll do it. Dr. Tisdale, I hope you don't mind me saying, but this conversation has really got me thinking about the simpler times, you know, back when men knew how to show women they cared, like my dad did with those turkeys. And, well, it's clear to me that a brilliant, passionate woman like you deserves to be treated with that same level of care and devotion. Tell me, has anyone ever milked you the way my dad used to milk those turkeys?
What did you just say?
Now, don't take it the wrong way, Doctor. I mean it as the highest compliment. You deserve to know what it feels like to be truly cherished, like the centerpiece of a holiday meal. And listen, I'm not saying it has to happen right away, but if you're interested, I could, you know, offer to do it myself. I've got a lot of experience with that kind of thing. Or, if you'd feel more comfortable, you could milk me. Totally your call.
Blake Winchester, what in the world are you talking about? Do you even hear yourself right now? This is not only inappropriate, it's absolutely disgusting.
No, hear me out, Doctor. It's not as weird as it sounds. It's about connection, tradition, respect. Look, after the 10 o'clock news, why don't you swing by my place? I've got a couple of old trucks in the backyard. We could climb into the cab of my 72 Chevy. It's got that original bench seat, plenty of room, and I'll even bring out one of my family's heirloom milking buckets. We could make a holiday memory together, just like the good old days.
Blake, I cannot believe this. Do you think any woman at all would find that appealing? Sitting in some rusty truck while you, what? Milk me? Or I milk you? This is beyond outrageous. It's grotesque.
Now, wait a minute, Doctor. Let's not blow this out of proportion. I'm just saying there's something deeply personal, even spiritual, about the act of milking. It's about trust, about sharing something meaningful. And I'm not saying we rush into it. We could start with turkey milk, warm, fresh, straight from the source. I could show you how to get just the right technique. My dad always said, it's all in the angle and the rhythm.
Blake,
Doctor, I think you're misunderstanding me. I'm not suggesting anything inappropriate. I'm talking about tradition, about rekindling the kind of intimacy our ancestors had with their food, and maybe, just maybe, with each other. Imagine it, the two of us, sitting under the stars, a steaming mug of turkey milk in hand, reconnecting with what really matters in life. I'd even sing you a little patriotic hymn. I've got a pretty decent baritone, if I do say so myself.
Blake, enough. I don't want to hear another word. You've crossed every possible line of decency. This interview is over, and let me make it abundantly clear. I will never, ever speak to you again.
Well, folks, it seems the good doctor has, chosen to end our discussion early. And, you know, that's her prerogative. But I'll be honest with you. I think it's a real shame when someone can't appreciate a little warmth and sincerity. You see, that's the problem with the world today. People are so quick to take offense, so ready to jump to conclusions, that they can't see genuine kindness for what it is. I was just trying to extend a bit of old-fashioned holiday spirit. And, well, it seems like not everyone is ready to receive that. But don't let that get you down, my friends. We've still got work to do. After the break, we'll talk about how President Trump is the only man who can restore the traditions that make this country great, including, perhaps one day, the return of the nipple turkey. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to the Freedom Flame Podcast Network, where truth burns brighter than the lies of the mainstream. If you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Real patriots don't hesitate. They take action. They stand tall. They hit that subscribe button like their freedom depends on it, because it does. Don't be the weak link in the chain of liberty. Subscribe now, or spend the rest of your days explaining why you let your country down when it needed you most. The Freedom Flame is watching. America is watching. Make the right choice now.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.